Well, this morning I want us to consider five verses from Psalm 103. So if you have a Bible, turn to 103 Psalm, or it'll be on the screen like I normally do. But within these verses, what we find are the writings of King David. Now, we all probably know a little bit about King David. He's been called what? A man after God's own heart. And yet, he is also a man who committed adultery, who set up a situation where that woman's husband was killed, and then acted like nothing happened. Now, I don't know about you. I have a hard time reconciling those two activities in the same person, don't you? You think, my goodness, how could he do that? He did some pretty dastardly things in his life. And yet, through his life, and I suspect these words were written late in life, not early in his life. I think it was after a long walking with the Lord he wrote these. He had experienced God's compassion. He had experienced God's forgiveness. And that led him to be thankful. To be thankful. You know, it seems like the more we have been forgiven, the more it is we're able to forgive. The more that we have experienced God's grace, the more grateful we can be, right? And I think there's some truth to that. And as we enter into Thanksgiving week, I want us to consider how we can choose a pathway. Choose an attitude that says this: God, I'm thankful for all you've done in my life. I thank you for the way you've worked in my life. I thank you for the way you're working in my life. And I thank you for the way maybe that you're going to work in my life in the days ahead. Because so often we I don't know about you, but I find myself falling into the trap of thinking, well, that didn't go well. That wasn't good. That wasn't great. That was bad. Y'all ever do that? I do. But when I really stop to think about everything that God has done, how dare I say, God, you didn't do enough. God, you're not at work in my life. Because he is. I want you to see four major areas where David expresses his thankfulness, and then a call for us to action at the end, and maybe a better way, a proper way to live, especially in light of the season that we find ourselves in this coming week. The first thing I want you to see is right there in verse 1. The verses say this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I think what he's doing here is simply this. He's thanking God for who he is. You ever stop to think about who God is? We think, well, God's God. Yeah, but who is he? God's God. Notice what David does here. Put the verse back up for me. What he does here is kind of interesting. It's something that I find myself doing sometimes. He says, Bless the Lord, O David. He didn't say it that way, but what he's doing is he's talking to himself. Y'all ever talk to yourselves? The real question is, do you get answers, you know, when you talk to yourselves? I talk to myself a lot, especially when Heather and the kids are gone, or kid now are gone from our house. I find myself around the house by myself, and I find myself sometimes talking. And I think to myself, who am I talking to? Now, we have a cat. I don't talk to him a whole lot, okay? And he's never answered. But I find myself talking. And then what he does here is he's talking to himself. He's saying, hey, David, you need to do something. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. He needs to holler out, scream out, yell out, God bless you. Everything in my soul, everything in my spirit, everything in who I am. And what David is doing, even though he was a special chosen servant of God, he lived a range of emotions. He faced a range of thoughts that every single one of us face. He had good days. He had bad days. He had days in between. And we don't know the exact context of these writing here, but I can imagine those low moments in life when we need encouragement. Where do we find that? Well, we hope to find it from our spouse if we have one. We find it from our children. No, we don't find it from our children. Yeah, we find it from our children sometimes. We find it from our parents sometimes, right? But ultimately, sometimes we just have to talk to ourselves and say, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And everything that's in me, bless his holy name. And so what David does is he talks to himself. He says, hey, David, how about you bless the Lord? Hey, David, how about you bless his name? Hey, David, how about doing some good things? I can imagine it's kind of like a coach before a game. You know, as you've played organized sports, individual sports are different. Tennis is different. You know, you got to psych yourself up in tennis, right? But in organized team sports, you have a coach that'll come up to you and say, all right, guys, or girls, whichever one you're playing on. Here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to do it. And they get excited, they get all excited, they get hyped, and they come right out of the locker room, and they go play the game, right? Sometimes we just need to do that for ourselves. We need to speak into our own lives and stop for a moment and thank God, because he's what? Who is God? Who is he? He is holy. He is just. He is merciful. He is forgiving. He is compassionate. He is concerned. He is caring. Need I go on? The list is exhaustive when you stop to think about it. He is all of those and more, and that he is God and we are not. So that's who God is. Then David goes on and thanks God for what he does. Look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's still talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits. Now, this is different because he drives from, is different from who he is, because he drives to the heart of what God does. We never want to treat God as an exchange relationship. God, I'll follow you if you give me this. God, I'll do this if you bless me. God, I'll do this if you bring this into my... No, that's not the way it is. Though we do reap blessings from following the Lord, right? There's many of them. But the first thing that often comes to our mind is our salvation, right? Can you imagine if you did not know the Lord? There may be some of you in this room that don't know the Lord. That's an issue that you need to address in your life. But for many of us in this room, we know the Lord. And we go, okay, that's good. And we become, immune to that feeling. Do you remember when you first met the Lord and you were thinking to yourself, man, this is good stuff. And then after time, what happens? It kind of becomes second nature, and it becomes just part of who we are, and we got to take it for granted, and we need to stop and do that. We need to remember his salvation. But David is speaking, I think, about something else here. I think one of the biggest moments of knowing God outside of salvation is this, is the purpose and meaning that God brings to our lives. I don't know how people who don't know the Lord get up in the morning. You're saying, what do you mean? They have families, they have homes, they have responsibilities, they have bills to pay. Just like, I think they miss the deeper meaning of following the Lord, of having a purpose in him. And we aren't saved just to putter around until we die, right? I've always said there's no retirement age in the Bible. You know it, don't you? There's no point where you go, okay, well, I've served God enough, now I can quit. Now, you may quit working at the job, but that doesn't mean you quit serving in the kingdom. The benefits he brings our purpose to life. Have you ever wondered how a guy who had an affair, who arranged to have her husband killed and then tried to deny it ever happened, could be called a man after God's own heart? But see, here's what you need to remember is while David's sin was great, God's forgiveness was and is greater. That's one of those benefits we get. Were the consequences of sin still there for David? Yes. Do the consequences of sin remain for us? Oh, yes. But he still is there bringing us, moving us beyond just salvation to this relationship where we experience him for what he does in our lives and expands in us. And then David goes on to talk about how God delivers. Thank him for how he delivers. It's an extension of the bless the Lord in verse 2, but it goes on into verse 3 and 4 and a couple more thoughts. He says this, who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He turns in a specific ways here and talks about how God delivers us. Notice what he does. And in rapid succession, he gives us four areas in that verse, those two verses that we want to see this morning. And the first one is this, that God did forgive him of his iniquity. David understood iniquity, didn't he? Can we be honest? So do we. We understand iniquity. There's not one of us in this room who's never sinned. Some of us have had some doozies, right? We make some real foolish choices in life, right? And we go, oh. The question isn't, are we going to sin? We are. The question comes as, how are we going to deal with that sin when it happens? And what David understood is the ugliness and the destructive nature of sin that all of us can relate to. He experienced the anguish found as he endured the effects of it. If you read David's story, what you find is he had some really cool high moments in life. But in the midst of all of that, he would have kids trying to kill each other, trying to abuse each other, trying to do crazy things. And he had to deal with the fallout of that. He had a son who tried to rise up and throw him off the throne. While he understood that. And yet God had still forgiven him of that iniquity. He talks about healing diseases. Now, I don't know if David ever had a disease that we are aware of in the scripture, but he does understand the reality that every single one of us will eventually what? Become sick. And then eventually all of us will have an illness of some kind that will lead us off this mortal sod. He got it. He speaks about how God delivers. He understands that God can heal supernaturally. God does heal. You know, this month we've had two significant incidences in our church of individuals who have had traumatic injuries. And one of the things I find myself praying again and again with them and for them is for God to heal. And what we want is for God to what? Supernaturally set them free from whatever they're going through, right? We want a brain to be healed. We want a body to be healed. We want those things to happen. Does God always do that? Not in the timing we want, and often not in the way we want. And sometimes his healing is eternal healing. Those are the hard ones, aren't they? But it's still God healing, right? He heals. And we can be thankful for that. Another way he does it, he says, God delivers us from the pit. Now, we talked in Sunday school class this morning a little bit about Hades and Sheol and all those kind of cool things. In the Old Testament understanding, they thought death to be a doorway that led to a holding place for those who believed, waiting for the Messiah's coming to deliver them from that place. It's a whole different understanding that we have. That's the idea. It's not even the idea of purgatory. It's not even the idea of hell being delivered. It's the idea of a holding place. Think the passage of Abraham's bosom in the story of the man who prayed, who found himself there. What we have here is a promise that says this, for those of us who know the Lord, David says, I know the Lord. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I've messed up. Yes, I've done foolish things, but I know the Lord. And he knew this, that when that day comes, he would not be separated from God for eternity. He would be delivered, redeemed from the pit of that idea of Sheol. And then he says, God, you're crowned with steadfast love and mercy. I think he's talking about eternity here. It must be a function of age. Those of you who are under 30, you probably don't relate to this yet, though death can come to any of us at any time. Those of us who've gotten a little older, we start thinking to ourselves, eternity doesn't look too bad, does it? And we go, look at that. He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. And then we can thank God. He thanks God for this, why he satisfies. I love this. Look at verse 5. Who satisfies you with good. Why? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David speaks to one more area where he needed to thank God, and it's this. Is God, you satisfy me. Consider why God would bring all these benefits to our lives, and surely you have a lot to be thankful. But I want you to see here, David thanks God because he satisfies with good so that his youth is renewed like eagles. I got to thinking about that one. What does an eagle have to do with youth? Those things fly way up in the air. And then I got to thinking, you know how eagles are renewed? If you don't, they molt. They sit there and the feathers come off and new feathers come out. They molt and they renew and they have new feathers that continue to do that. And that's the visual that David is pulling in here, is he's talking about this idea of eternity, of being with him, of being present with him, and he's able to receive his forgiveness here, putting aside the guilt now, putting aside the shame now, the pain now, the hurt now, and saying, God, I get to be with you and you renew me through it all. So after I got through reading those five verses, I got to thinking, it's Thanksgiving week. It's Thanksgiving week, if y'all forgot. Three thoughts. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what? Thank you, Lord, what? For this, for salvation. If you're here today and have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, this is something you can be thankful for, right? You go, well, yeah, I've been walking with the Lord now for 40 years or 50 years or 60 years or whatever. You know what? If it's gotten old, it may have never gotten into you in the first place, because it should never get old that God saved us and is saving us and changing us and transforming us. The first area that salvation is the salvation that he made possible for us. See, when we chose to rebel against God, every one of us was born under a curse of sin. Oh, I know the babies are so pretty and so precious and so special and all that, but they're under a curse of sin because they're human just like us. Now, we're not going to talk about how that all works in detail. That's not the point this morning. The reality is we need a Savior, and we have one, because we're all born in sin, we all live in sin, and we will die in sin unless something changes. And thankfully, we don't have to stay under that curse, do we? You can come to a moment where you say, God, I need you. See, Jesus came living a perfect life, dying a perfect death, providing the way for us to have eternal life in salvation. And the way to receive that is so simple, is to say, God, I need you. Would you come into my life? We try to make it so complicated, don't we? We go, well, we got to do this and this and this. No, it's just a step of faith that says, I trust you. But grasp this. Once you have it, then you can live with this sense of thankfulness. God, thank you that I was saved, that I am being saved, that I'm being transformed by your presence, that one day when my life is over, when I breathe my last breath, I will be eternally saved and in your presence. Thank God for your salvation. Not in an arrogant way, but in a grateful way. Listen to what David wrote over in Psalm 118, same guy that wrote Psalm 103. He says this, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. David got it, that he needed a Savior. They look forward to the Messiah. We look back to the Messiah. But the same Jesus that saves us is the same Jesus who saves those in the Old Testament when they had faith in him. How about the second thing we can be thankful for? Thanking for your health. For your health. You know, we think, oh, I'm young. Young buck, strapping, easy, no problems. And then all of a sudden you turn around and you go, oh, that hurts. You get out and work a little bit in the yard and you go, man, I need a day to recover from that. You know, some of you can relate to that. Where it used to be, you'd go, well, let's go do something else. And now you're going, man, let's don't do anything else. See, all of us are going to face the moment when we'll no longer be here, but we can still live today with a heart of thankfulness for the health that we do have. Because listen, you are not promised. I am not promised tomorrow we will be healthy. You don't know when something will snap, will change, when a wrong step will change your life's direction for a season in front of you. If you were able to get out of bed this morning, at least on the second or third try, thank God. If you're able to enter another day that the Lord has made, thank the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be grumpy in it. No, let's rejoice, right? He's a good God. He loves us. Let's treasure the days that we have. Treasure the moment. Treasure the moments you have with those loved ones this week. Don't gripe at them. Don't argue with them. Don't fight over which way the dressing is supposed to sit on the table. Just thank God for the people you have with you, because we don't know how many days we'll have. I'm reminded of the words of Jeremiah when he said this, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, because you are my praise. Thank God for your health. See, Jeremiah lived in a time when the people of Judah were so far from God And they were a mess, a nation. They were far from the Lord. They lived their own truth. They chose their own paths. Yet the prophet called it and said, Lord, would you heal us? Would you heal me? Would you save me? Hear my praise. Maybe we could learn something from that. And then one more thought, and we're going to finish early today. Y'all write it. Write it down. Thank you, Lord, for provision. For provision. You know, a lot of times we think provision, and what do we think? The stuff, right? We think of the physical stuff. You know, we finished this week, or some of you have already started, we start going through this mad dash of figuring out what to buy for everybody for Christmas, right? And we got to get a thing, we got to buy this. I hate Christmas, that part of it, okay? It's just, to me, it just kills the season, personally. But my provision and your provision is so much bigger. Because, you know, the stuff that we buy, you know, the stuff you bought for Christmas last year, do you remember where it is now? Some of it's gone. And if it's not gone now, give it 5 years. Give it 10 years, it'll be gone because it doesn't last. So I think the provisioning that we're talking about here and that he's talking about in this passage is not things. It's not money. It's not stuff. Something far greater, far more blessed. And Paul gives us an insight into this over in the letter to the Galatians. Wednesday night group, we haven't got to this passage yet, but we're headed there. And he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is a 401k. It's your physical health. It's a safe place to live. It's too much food on the table for Thanksgiving. Is that what he says? He says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Lord, give it to us this week. Fruit of the Spirit is what? Kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Y'all are going, he's going slow through this. Yes, I am. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And against those things, there is no law. What he's saying is this, is love is better, joy is better, peace is better, patience is better, kindness is better, goodness is better, faithfulness is better, gentleness is better, self-control is better, and there's nothing in the world to stop those from being evident in our lives if we're thankful to God at work in us. So as we move into this week with all the demands that we have, I don't know what you're doing Thanksgiving. I hope my dad's not watching. But I get to see my dad Thursday, and that should be an experience. It always is. Imagine me 25 years older, and you'll understand. Some of you got that one good. But we have to choose to what? Be thankful. To be thankful for what God's placed in front of us. And it all begins with a relationship with the Lord, doesn't it? To know him and to be known by him. So I want to challenge you, if you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord, maybe this is the day to do that. Maybe you need to make a public profession of faith. What a great day to be thankful for salvation. Maybe you got other decisions you want to make today. We want to give you that opportunity as well. So let's have a word of prayer together. Father God, we thank you for this day and allowing us to come into your presence with thanksgiving, to sing out with joy, to experience your peace. And I pray, God, for those who need to make some sort of decision this day, I pray that you would give them the faith to do that. We pray your hand in these few moments that you would be at work as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.